from God's Word, first from the Old Testament, about God being a very caring God, as expressed in Psalm 65. And then we'll read also together from Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. Listen to God's word from Psalm 65. Praise is waiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also who dwell in the furthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Psalm 65. And then we go to Matthew 5, 43 to 48. Matthew 5, 43 to 48. And this will be our text, especially verse 45, the second part of that verse. But hear what Jesus says here. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So far the reading of God's word. The theme for the sermon, based on verse 45 especially, is living consciously under God's fatherly care. Following the preaching, we'll sing together Psalter 401, which is like a prayer as well, and praise. And we'll sing stanzas 3, 2, and 4 in that order. 401, 3, 2, and 4. Dear Christian congregation, we are here for this midweek service, especially to have a time of prayer. As the weather these days so clearly shows to us and wonderfully reminds us, especially after a day like today, we have once again come into the spring season and summer following. And that means ahead of us, especially for the farmers, but really in every occupation, there's a lot of work that will take place. There's lots to do, lots we hope to do, and need to do, and want to do in the coming months. Whether we are younger or older, whether we are wealthy or not so wealthy. And why are we here this night to begin this new season here in church? Well, it is to express humbly and happily our dependence on the Lord as we begin a new season
and asking for His blessing on all our work and activities that will take place. Our coming here is really just to worship God, to acknowledge Him as the giver of every good and perfect gift in our lives. Have you come here in that way? To bow down before the Lord and to worship Him. It's not just an empty ritual or a formal annual tradition coming here for this prayer service. But if it's well, we have come here in thankful worship to God, praying for His undeserved mercies and provision for us once again in this new season ahead of us. Well, for our scripture this service, I draw your attention to the text in Matthew 5, verse 45, where Jesus says about the Father, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. It is obvious that we need to look at this text in its context, in the paragraph, verses 43 to 48, and we will do that. But let us do it focusing on the last half of the verse. This amazing statement speaking of God. For He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. Let's study this phrase in its context under the theme, living consciously under God's fatherly care. Hopefully, it's what each and all of us will do as we head into this spring and summer of 2008. Well, what will that involve, living consciously under God's fatherly care? What will that involve according to our text? It will involve, for one, confessing God's greatness. How great is God and greatly to be praised? Only looking at the last half of the verse 45, can you say how it so brings out God's greatness? Look, for instance, just at that little word, His. Do you see that in the verse? He causes His sun to rise, the text says. You know that? The sun in the sky is God's doing. It's not a product of a big bang a long time ago, but it's something of His hands. He spoke and it was there. He made it out of nothing. And He made it by Himself. And He placed it in the sky. And He keeps it in its place along with all the other planets. And He keeps that sun burning throughout the centuries. Never burning up or burning out. But always giving light and heat. Day after day. Year after year. Generation after generation. The sun is God's creation. He owns it. And He keeps it going. Amazing. Psalm 19 celebrates God's creation of the sun, testifying in verse 6, its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden under its heat. God's greatness is also shown in rain, which we get lots of here in BC, and which is also God's doing. His creative handiwork. We don't think of it too often, but just think of it. Of billions of pounds of water constantly evaporating from the oceans and lakes and seas and then falling in God's time, softly coming down. Those billions of pounds of water in little drops, one at a time, refreshing the land and watering the fields again and again, season upon season. In Job 5, verse 8 and to 10, when Eliphaz would speak about the great things and the unsearchable works that God does, marvelous things without number, you know what Eliphaz first mentions then? Chapter 5, verse 10 of Job. He, God, gives the rain on the earth and sends waters on the fields. Beloved congregation, let us acknowledge God this evening as the one who made the sun, and who keeps it going and glowing, and the one who gives the rain and keeps it coming time and time again in amazing care and providence to this earth. Notice Jesus says about God the Father, He makes His sun rise. You could also translate, He causes His sun to rise and He sends the rain. Or He causes it to come time and again. We say quite easily, don't we? It's sunny today. Or it's raining again. But our little text phrase this evening reminds us, doesn't it? We are to acknowledge the greatness of God when it's sunny and when it's raining. We know this, I know. But it's good in worship this evening just to testify of this together. And to recognize and to say, yes, sunshine and rainfall comes from God's fatherly hand, our great God in heaven, the one only true God. Do you have a worshipful heart before God in this regard for this blessing? The Bible surely teaches us further, doesn't it? That who God is in His greatness in the realm of nature, even just with the sun and rain, is just a dim reflection, really, of His supreme, infinite greatness in the way of salvation through this giving of His Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior of sinners. Jesus called in Malachi chapter 4, the Son, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness that shall arise with healing in His wings. And in the rain, do we not have a picture also of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven to make alive from the dead in sin and to refresh and revive His people again and again through His Word? The fact is, the greatness of God in nature and in salvation through Jesus Christ is indescribable and most wonderful beyond words. We confess this night together, God's greatness as God of creation and God of providence and God of salvation. For sure, as James tells us in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shadow of turning. What do we often sing? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Well, our text teaches this is what God's people do when living consciously under God's fatherly care. But let us notice a second point our text, our scripture surely brings out. Not only does Matthew 5 verse 45 tell of God's greatness, but surely it tells also of our dependency on Him. This is so clear, but again, it's important for you and me to confess this and to testify every day again, our dependency on God. Teach us sunshine and the rain. If God would not faithfully provide that, who could survive on this planet? Again, if God only provided one of these two things all the time, whether it be only sunshine or only rain, who could and would survive for long? Only rain would mean flooding and no growth anywhere. And only sunshine would mean drought and dryness and no life anywhere after a time. But the text mentions God the Father causing the sun to rise and bringing the rain as well. How dependent we are for life on both of them, both of these basic points and matters. Well, these basic matters of sunshine and rain make us think of our dependency on God for so much else as well. Can you think of other things we are dependent on God for? Are we not dependent on God for every breath? For our health? For our safekeeping from harm and danger, also at work? For our strength to do our work? For our work that we may do? Are we not owing to God the gift of family, friends, jobs, education, skills, supplies, food, drink, roads, transportation, hospitals, church, government, peace, freedom, a home to live in, holidays, gospel opportunities, sports, humor, and so many numberless blessings in life that we may have and enjoy? Yes, even in abundance in this part of the world, especially compared to so many others. Again, as a new season of spring and summer is before us, let us think about it and acknowledge it daily our dependency on God, even to move one step forward, literally, and to get ahead in life, even an inch, as it were, a little, and to live even one day longer. We are to think about it and confess it together before God and each other, how utterly dependent we are on God for every blessing in life. Do you personally admit this? What I'm saying now that our text brings out. We can do what we need to do and want to do. And again, this season, seek to excel. And we should surely do our best in whatever responsibilities we have. But if God doesn't bless us and prosper us with His care and keeping, can we accomplish anything really? Can we truly be blessed actually? No. We are dependent on Him for His upholding care and blessing each and every day again, in the smallest of matters and with the greatest of challenges. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it, says Psalm 127, verse 1. Isn't that what we are confessing as we come here together tonight for this prayer service? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, "Who made you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" So you see, our text brings out, doesn't it, the dependency on God, physically, materially, and spiritually as well. Yes, in every way, we might say. As a song we sometimes sing based on Psalm 139 puts it, this is what we confess tonight, especially as God's people. All that I am, I owe to Thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, has fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. Indeed, isn't this your and my testimony even more thinking not just of God's earthly provision and care for us, but especially thinking of His spiritual care and provision for us? God's care and provision for us sinners, in and through Jesus Christ, it's tremendous, isn't it? The gift of His Son and the perfect salvation we may have through Him and the ministry of the Holy Spirit we may have from Him and the Father. It's priceless beyond words. And the privilege to be under gospel ministry time and again. What a blessing. The Lord provides freely and continually through Jesus Christ total forgiveness of all our sins for those who believe on Him. And everlasting righteousness before God, put to our account from Christ. And the blessed hope and assurance of eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth, all for Jesus' sake alone. Isn't it true how utterly dependent we are on God, the one only true God, for all blessings, for body and soul, in life and death, for now and forever? And isn't that what we're confessing tonight as we are here? If you this evening don't yet know this, or don't realize this, nor reflect this, the greatness of God and our dependency on Him for everything, then you are literally most unwise still, no matter how skilled you may be in one way or another. And then you are yet so miserably poor, really, no matter how apparently wealthy you may seem to be. I urge you in Jesus' name to learn what Jesus would teach us in our text passage, bringing out not only God's greatness and our dependency on Him, but thirdly, notice how our text proclaims the goodness of God, the great goodness of God. How does that come out in our text phrase, verse 45? Well, listen to what Jesus says up there about the Father in heaven. He makes His Son rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You see that? The goodness and mercy of God comes out here in God's generous, loving kindness and care for all people, the evil and the good, the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus states here, as one commentator put it, sunshine and rain descend on all alike, and in so doing reveal the Father's love and care, of which all are the objects. The point here is, congregation, the Lord is full of mercy. And He reaches out in a general but genuine way to all mankind. in His loving kindness. And a great proof of that is in the sunshine and rain that we experience. We confess tonight on the basis of our text, all God's provision and daily care for us are a sign of His undeserved goodness and mercy towards this whole world. Even to the rebellious and to the wicked, to idol makers and idol worship, God worshippers, God showers His goodness with countless blessings for life here on earth. And keeping up on the news a little bit about the Middle East, I read an article about Israel sending humanitarian aid to Gaza, 160 truckloads, at the same time while the Palestinians were continuing to fire rockets into Israel. That's a picture of what God does, in a certain sense. God sends rain and sunshine to the wicked as well as to the righteous. Regardless, He's a God pouring out blessings. That's the point. As confessing Christians this evening at this prayer service, if it's well, you and I are testifying, among other truths, also this, that all God's blessings on this earth to all people, especially to ourselves, is so much a matter of His sheer goodness and mercy towards us. Being a sinful people by nature and guilty of sin so often, still, even as believers, all God's people will confess even one blessing in this life is more than we ever deserve of ourselves. It is God's goodness. It is His so-called common grace that this rebellious, wicked world is not yet consumed under His wrath. That we could have such a beautiful day as today. It is God's long-suffering that He yet provides this world with so much we need to live and with so much else besides. Yes, again, especially in our part of the world, where we all may have and are given to enjoy so much more than the vast majority of people across the globe. Far more than we ever even can imagine. And it's certainly not because we are somehow better than those other people. To the contrary, a lot of the wickedness and filth in this world comes from the Western world to the other parts of the world. We have nothing to boast about. We are undeservedly so favored by God. The Lord giving sunshine and rain to all peoples so reflects on God's character, His gracious character, His generosity in His kindness, His abundance of care and love towards people like us. How this should fill us with praise and with adoration and with hope. And again, if we think about this not just in terms of earthly blessings, but also spiritually, how God so loved the world. Cosmos is the text in John 3:16 in the original. How He so loved the cosmos that He gave His only Son, sinners to save. And how He will have the gospel message earnestly proclaimed everywhere. And the gospel invitation and command sincerely and urgently brought to all peoples, none excluded. I say this shows us, doesn't it, the goodness and mercy of the Lord towards sinners. It's as wide as the ocean. It's beyond length and depth and width and height. And who are the just and the unjust? And who are the righteous and the unrighteous? The good and the evil in our text? Well, ultimately we can say the righteous and good are those who are, by grace, coming to God in faith, bowing down to Him in repentant submission. And the unrighteous and the evil are those who, as Paul says in Romans 2 verse 4, despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, refusing to come to repentance and faith before Him. But let us notice from our text that God, even in the sunshine and rain, reaches out to all. And He shows a tender care for all. Do you see the big-heartedness of God in this with me? Isn't this what Jesus so wants to emphasize and have us notice here? How terribly tragic if in the day of days, being recipient from God of so many earthly blessings in life and spiritual blessings, that you should prove to be among those who never truly acknowledge God's undeserved mercies and goodness to you. Our text is not saying at all,
It's a matter of indifference whether you are among the just or the unjust, the saved or the not saved. No, it is actually stressing that all, if truly wise, will call on the good-doing Savior. Call on the God of our salvation from all sin and evil while it's yet the time of grace. Don't let this new spring and summer season 2008 be a season of earthly prosperity that only serves to condemn you to hell all the more. Living a godless and unbelieving and thankless life before God. No, rather, by grace, let us live our lives also this coming season, or perhaps beginning this coming season, confessing the greatness of God and daily living in praise to Him. Daily confessing the greatness of God and our daily dependence upon Him. And confessing and acknowledging His goodness to us, even in the abundance of sunshine and showers that He sends our way. Praise Him whose Son does bring the day. He ransomed us from all our foes. Each creature's need He does supply. Give thanks to God enthroned on high. His grace abideth ever. His mercy faileth never. So we sing based on Psalm 136, Psalter 378. And such is how it should be in the Christian response to the Lord's mercies for us, body and soul. And this brings me yet briefly to our last point. How our text brings out, especially, and this is really the point of the text, it brings out our calling in life as confessing Christians. In our text passage, the stress is on how, as God the Father is in a real way so loving and caring towards all, indiscriminately so, so that should be something that's reflected in our lives as His people. You and I are to show love and kindness towards all people, including those we don't like so much, and even those who are against us and have shown themselves unkind and hostile to us. We are to show in word and deed something of God's love and care. As confessing Christians, you and I have the calling to shine forth loving words and deeds and to pour out genuine kindness and care, like as God gives the sunshine and the rain on both the good and the evil. Let's not have the idea or the practice only to be loving and kind to those who are loving and kind to us, but show genuine kindness and Christian care and love, even for those people you see are thoughtless and careless and thankless towards you. J.C. Ryle says about this passage so truthfully, quote, "There are few passages in Scripture so calculated to raise in our minds humbling thoughts," end of quote, as this passage. For who among us, congregation, and I ask myself as well, who among us loves others and shows selfless and generous loving kindness towards all others as we could and should? Will not all God's people admit our Christian witness is too often so poor because we are too often still so selfishly and grudgingly loving and not selflessly and generously loving? The best of us has so much to learn yet of knowing and showing the boundless love of God as revealed in Jesus Christ ultimately, and as revealed in part also in the sunshine and in the rain. Here I'm reminded of our calling as we go into this new season and come together now also for prayer for God's blessing on this season. Our purpose now in seeking to be blessed by God should be that He may enrich us with all that is good for us, for body and soul, for this grand purpose, that we might live to His praise and seek in turn to be a blessing to others in their needs, reflecting God in our ways. Is this what you hope for in this new season? Is this what you will pray for, that we be blessed
in order to live our lives for God and good, and that we not be selfishly selective to whom we will reach out in love, but rather God-directed, aiming freely and genuinely, increasingly to reach out to all who cross our path as God gives us opportunity. Am I right in saying, congregation, on the basis of our text, the last person in your mind whom you least want to reach out to in love and care is probably the first one you ought to contact? If you will show true Christian love and care as Jesus calls for it in our text passage, and reflect something really of the God who gives sunshine and rain to all people, good and bad, righteous and unrighteous. The one whom you would exclude in showing love to is the one you need to include. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. And we can only do that by His grace and Spirit in us. Well, let's pray for a great season of God's blessing upon us. Not that we consume His blessing on ourselves, no, but that we might be channels of blessings to others, all others, excluding none. This is according to what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 44 and 45, where we read, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Meaning, not that you may become sons, but rather that you may truly reflect the Father as sons. "For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Well, as we pray tonight for God's blessing in the coming season, let us do so confessing His greatness as God the provider of all, and our dependency on Him for everything, and His goodness towards us in all His blessings, and realizing our calling before Him and all others to show forth His love as brought out in these verses before us this evening. Will you join me in prayer with this believing frame of mind and heart, living consciously thus under God's fatherly care? So coming to God in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ the Savior, let us be hopeful for God's blessings again this season, and that we might be a rich blessing to others in turn, to the praise of His grace and mercy towards us. Bless us, Lord, in the way that most results in Your name being praised by us, and that others see we are Christians by our love, or rather, by Your love shining in and through us. That will make, congregation, for the best spring and summer season ever granted for Jesus' sake. Amen.